What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Donuts podcast. Thanks so much for being here. I hope that you have enjoyed these so far as I've made them. I hope you enjoyed the Treehouse of Horror. I've kind of, as I've done these first 8 or 9 episodes, I've kind of realized that I've fallen away from what I really wanted to do. And I'm going to kind of go back to just readjust and pivot. I'm open to any feedback that you'd like to offer. And it's nothing too dramatic, but so you might notice a little bit of a difference in the flow, just in the outline that I've created. But, you know, this is just what I had in mind for the show. So anyway, I hope you like it. Keep listening. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. And let's jump into it. So I kind of ran a little bit low on motivation because you're probably getting tired of hearing this, but it's just hard to watch the first season. Second season isn't much better. So I want to push through these, but I will continue to still be doing some other episodes, like those Halloween episodes that I did from last week, a week ago. I think I'm going to jump ahead and do some of my favorite episodes here soon, and just throw them in there and still be labeled as the right season and episode. So as I do all of these in the future, episodically, it'll show up, you know, the way that it should. But anyway, that's where we are. So this episode is called The Call of the Simpsons. And, it's an okay one. It's got some good jokes. It's got some okay writing. It's got a good guest star, in my opinion. So just to recap, we've had like 2 or 3 guest stars so far. There were 2 in the last episode, Moaning Lisa, and then 1 in Homer's Odyssey, Sam McMurray. So the one in this episode is Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks is also in The Telltale Head in a few episodes. So Albert Brooks, you may remember him from such other movies as Finding Nemo and Dr. Doolittle. Dr. Doolittle. Yeah. He plays the tiger in that one. And he's Marlin in Finding Nemo, Nemo's dad. That is Albert Brooks, albeit several years prior, so he sounds a little different. But he plays Bob the RV dude, Cowboy Bob. So, and I'm pretty sure he's a French guy in the next episode he's in, but we'll get to that. Here are the gags. So first of all, this came out in 1990, just like the last several, but this is February 18th. And again, at the time we were waiting for these Sunday night, 7 o'clock Simpsons were on. We loved it. We hated when there was like sweeps week. You might have to look that one up. We'd miss a week for here and there, but then aside from the summer, it's what got us through school. We could watch The Simpsons every weekend, and we go back and talk about it Monday morning. Very, very fun pastime for me growing up. So, anyway, chalkboard gag says, "I will not draw naked ladies in class." Now, I don't know about you, but who would have done that? I did that. I got in trouble for that once. Who didn't though, right? Shut up, you're not perfect. The couch gag is kind of meh. It's just the family all piles in onto the couch and nothing extraordinary happens. And they use that again in the last episode of this season. So, you know, womp womp. There are a lot of great ones, though. And I'm a broken record, but they get much better as the seasons go on. So let's plow through. We'll get some good stuff eventually. There are some hidden gems, though. And there's a really funny scene in this episode that I'll talk about. You know, I'm going to jump ahead. I don't care. One of my favorite episodes growing, or one of my favorite scenes from this episode growing up is when Bart and Homer are trying to trap a rabbit using a little sapling, a small, you know, very young tree. And when the rabbit goes in the little circle to get its food, and the thing mysteriously just snaps into action. Like there's no trigger to activate it. Even as a kid, I was like, well, that's dumb. But then I immediately forgot it because it was such a funny sound and then sight to see that little rabbit just launched hundreds of yards away. It's just, you know, slapstick humor. I loved it, that kind of stuff. So anyway, this episode is the one where Homer, who's envious of Ned Flanders's new RV, buys a dilapidated one and takes the family on a disastrous camping trip. The RV, along with many of their possessions, gets destroyed. They get lost in the woods. Homer's mistaken as Bigfoot, and Maggie is adopted by a family of bears. So that's the plot summary. I've got some trivia. All right, so if you did your homework and if you watched the episodes before these, then you're going to have a good time. And if you didn't, then you're not. And shame on you. Like, really, what else do you have better going on that you can't just spend 22 minutes and 38 seconds? Okay, sorry, that was all. Okay, question number one. What is the motto of Bob's RV Roundup? There are actually a couple of signs out front, but one of them is a motto. And I don't want to have an argument that, well, I mean, all of them could be considered. No, there's one that's a motto, and then the other, they're just signs. So what's the motto? Question number two, from the same scene, just because it's good. How many deep fryers does the Ultimate Behemoth RV have? All right. Did you know it? Okay, third, what TV program was interrupted when the local news broke, when they broke the story on Bigfoot? So now I gave more thought into this trivia. If you have been watching the episodes, you already know the trivia answers. So why wait till the end and me risk forgetting to give the answers? But right, why wait till the end? So the motto of Bob's RV Roundup is, we'd rather make a friend than a profit. How many deep fryers are on the Ultimate Behemoth RV? Four, one for every part of the chicken. And what TV program was interrupted when the local news broke the story on Bigfoot? A presidential address. It's good stuff. Okay, I'm going to go into some of the jokes now, because this really is the reason that I started this podcast, is to just go through the jokes. They're a lot better later on, and they're a lot more deep. Like, I don't know, seasons 5 through 12, I might have to do hour-long episodes. Like, they're just chock full of jokes that are good and deep or have layers. But there's still some good-ish jokes in these, so we're going to go through them. For example, the first one that I noticed was when Bart is, he's mowing the lawn and he's complaining that Todd is on a riding lawnmower and has a, you know, he's got a different voice than it's his first line. Doesn't talk again until like middle of the next season. Has his, the voice we all know, the high pitched one. But anyway, he's like, hot enough for you? It's dumb. On a riding lawnmower with a camisole and like a glass of lemonade. So stupid. Which is in itself, you know, a good joke. But anyway, Bart's complaining and asking Homer why they can't have one of those too. And Homer says, oh, Bart, don't try to keep up with the Flanderses. It's the dichotomy that it's like they're opposite from how they end up. You know, they're fully developed characters. It's just funny. Not even swapped. It's just Homer is, it's not Homer. But it's funny. So funny in retrospect. It's more irony than that. But then also the joke is that then Ned pulls up with his big RV and then, you know, Homer has to have a better one, or he has to go and get one. So immediately goes back on what his advice is to his son. The next joke comes rolling right back after that when they're looking at the RV and Homer says to Ned, how can you afford something like this, Ned? I get your mail once in a while and you make only $27 a week more than I do. There's a couple of great jokes there. Obviously, first being that he's committing mail fraud, and that Flanders is just fine with it. But that's his character forever, is Homer does something crazy and obnoxious or destructive, and Flanders is like, well, oakley doakley. That's a running gag with Ned. I love it. It's funny. But also, he somehow only makes $1,400 a year more than Homer, and he's in pharmaceutical sales. So there's something missing there. I just think that I don't know if that was intentionally written to be a joke. I think that was just poor writing. They probably just didn't really understand what the difference is in income. Because, yeah, that's anyway. It's more silly and dumb than funny, that part of it. But there you go. So, and obviously there are other jokes here and there. I'm not going to go through every single joke. Like first episode I did, Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington, I'm going to redo when we get to that season, the next season, because I just went through like every scene and analyzed it. It was a full hour. Ugh. It's now an Apple exclusive. So if you want to go listen to it, it still has lots of listens, lots of downloads. But I mean, speak out. If you really actually enjoy it, tell me, you know, give me some advice. Let's move on though. The RV scene, sorry, the RV lot scene it's chock full of some good jokes. The signs are funny. The sleazy used car salesperson, character that, you know, that is Bob, Cowboy Bob, is just so funny. He epitomizes the sleazy salespeople of, you know, used car lots. Does that perfectly. It's funny. Really, really good. Has lots and lots of dirty and underhanded things that he says to Homer and just takes advantage of him being stupid. And then Homer, of course, epitomizes the ability to take advantage of dummards, especially in this situation. So, good humor, good jokes, in my opinion. The next little bit, I mean, there's a scene where they go out camping, a couple of jokes on the ride, but they finally get Homer to stop. He reaches down and pushes a button, and then it's like is now going 10 times faster than he did before. So, you know, why wasn't he? No, we're not going to break down and talk about how realistic it is because it's a cartoon. So calm down. But when he stops, they're on the edge of a cliff, and they're teetering back and forth. And when you can see when the family's all in there, the RV is packed to the brim with their possessions, including their TV. Everything from their house is in there. Like, it's a decent sized RV, and it is floor to ceiling completely packed with all their junk. And so they all get out miraculously, and the RV plummets and blows up. And it's the first of many times that the Simpsons suffer a loss of practically everything they own and then return the next week as if it never happened. But they do, however, get much better at creating closure later in the series, and they even poke fun at creating closure later, which I'll point out when it starts to happen. But anyway, so this next one, I don't think it was intentionally written as a joke the way that I'm taking it, but it's because the writers hadn't fully developed Homer yet, or any of the characters really. So Homer walks off and is acting calm and then starts freaking out, which is another joke because he screams, you know, horrible things and there's a loud echo. So some good slapstick echo humor. Can't go wrong there. But then he throws his hands up and he says, "Of all the fates of heaven and earth, why does this one befall me?" And it was so funny. I had to Google it. I was like, is that Shakespeare? You know, like I was fully expecting it to be from Macbeth or something. And it's not. It's, if you Google, "Of all the fates of heaven and earth, why does this one befall me?" It's from Homer Simpson. And it's just so highbrow that, I mean, that's, that I think is just the joke, because he's portrayed as dumb. And even later in this, pretty soon in this episode, portrayed as very, very dumb, but there's this stark contrast of his lines. So they get a lot better at continuity as they move on with Homer, which is good. But it just, as I watch these episodes, I honestly am thinking, I'm glad there wasn't anything else on, you know, to convince Fox, hey, this is good, people like this. I'm really glad there wasn't other competition that could throw this out, because it ended up being an amazing show. But geez, there were a lot of flaws, a lot of swings and misses. So, and I think I've told you guys, I watch these episodes right before I create the outline or finish the outline and then record the episode. But I'm also watching The Simpsons just, you know, in everyday life. You know, I'll put it on while I'm making dinner or something, or watch an episode before I go to bed. And so I'm currently in, like, I think season 13 now. And it's just, it's so funny to see how far they've gone, but it's also my motivation for doing other episodes here and there, because it's going to get me through these first two, three seasons. It really is. Because when they hit, I think seasons like 5 through 12 could be the greatest of the whole series. I think that's when they peaked. And they don't like plummet after that, but gosh, I think I even said this in a recent podcast. I am not intentionally trying to be repetitive. I promise you that. But I do have lots of opinions, and sometimes they're the same opinion. Sorry. But anyway, so Homer and Bart walk off, and then Maggie starts to follow him. And Lisa's like, oh, should we be worried? And Marge says, oh, I'm sure that she's in good hands. Yeah, it's just silly. Again, in retrospect, you're like, well, duh, of course she's not in good hands. But at the time, we didn't know everything we know about Homer now. So it was believable? Question mark. And her whole adaptation into a family of bears is pretty funny. Particularly her complete lack of fear of the bear. And she just shoves an extra pacifier into its mouth. And then they're family. It's funny. It's funny. I don't care who you are. You're not going to convince me it's not. One of the best jokes, I think, is the subtle humor about Homer being dumb and smelly. So like on the ride to the forest, the kids are playing a game. What's that smell? And it ends up being Homer's feet. So, you know, pointing out that he's smelly. But also when he's caught as Bigfoot, they catch him. And they talk about his smell and his intelligence, and they still are like, it's inconclusive whether or not he's actually Bigfoot. I mean, it's just funny because that's just how dumb he is. And he's like lamenting, guys at work are going to have a field day over this one. It's pretty funny. So anyway, what do you think? Did I miss any jokes? And I told you, I'm not putting them all in the episode, but like, did I miss one of your favorites? Are you listening to this at home or in your car or in your shower? Don't listen to it in the shower. And you're just like, well, why didn't you talk about this joke? This is the best joke of the whole series. So prove it. Prove it. Message me. You know how. I'll tell you again anyway. In a minute. So anyway, that's it. That's what I've got. I'll end with just one more piece of trivia, I guess. But what I wanted was to, I originally wanted these episodes to be about 20, 22 minutes long, because that's how long the episodes were. I didn't love getting into, you know, longer, as much as I wanted to wax philosophical and ask you to, you know, respond and give me your thoughts on this. There will be episodes where I do that, especially when I've got a guest with me. But for now, it's just going to be, let's talk about the jokes, and maybe you missed a joke when you watched it, and I could shed some light on it, and you can send me some money for that. Because no, I'm just kidding. But you can though if you really want. Anyway, The Call of the Simpsons, the name of this episode, is it's a reference to a brief novella, like a short novel, by Jack London called The Call of the Wild. There are lots and lots of references like that in Simpsons episode names. I'm sure you've probably caught on by now. I will always try to explain what the reference is, because even now, today, I saw one in season 13. I didn't understand it, so I've got to Google it when that time comes. But at this point, we might not be getting to season 13 until after the apocalypse, or I mean for like 7 more years. So seriously, if people are listening to this, the analytics tell me there are. It's got hundreds of downloads, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you. But if people are listening to this, tell me. Interact with me. I think the best way to do it, I've shared my email. It's shartanpants@gmail.com. shartanpants at gmail. But I'm on X. So hit me up on X at mmmdonuts742. And it's D-O-N-U-T-S, donuts. Not the obnoxious G-H one. Okay? That's me. You were here. It happened. We did this together. You're great. I'm great. We're all terrific. So thanks again for listening. I appreciate it. And I will see you in the next episode.